Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Welcome into a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. It's a brand new week right here on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Happy to start off this brand new week. There's a lot to get into today, including the idea of us not getting college football. I believe that this is becoming more of a reality by the day. In fact, I would not be surprised if by the end of the week, we know that we will not have college football. Commissioners of the Power Five conferences held an emergency meeting Sunday because of the growing concern of the COVID-19 pandemic. And no major decisions have been made yet, but multiple sources in several Power 5 conferences told ESPN the commissioners talked about trying to collaborate if their respective presidents do not decide to cancel or postpone fall sports. ESPN has said that the Big Ten presidents, following meeting on Saturday, are ready to pull the plug on its fall sports seasons. They wanted to gauge if commissioners and university presidents and chancellors from other Power 5 conferences, ACC, Big 12, Pac-10, and SEC, will fall in line with them. Now, the vast majority of Big Ten presidents have indicated that they would vote to postpone the football season, hopefully to spring. And what I would say to that is it presents a whole different sort of issues playing in the spring. You're going to have a lot of kids opting out because the NFL draft is right around the corner. You have to be academically eligible for the spring. Yes, you do if you don't play in the fall. That's something else you got to consider as well. And honestly, I think this puts us one step forward as far as a group of Power 5 schools moving away from the NCAA. I think that happens eventually. Big Ten presidents had voted 12-2 to cancel the 2020 football season. That was according to the Detroit Free Press. Now, according to Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated, the Pac-12 is on a similar path. And so it looks as if the Pac-12 and the Big Ten would be the first two out. Again, I think we're going to get some clarification on this within the next 24 to 48 hours and what's going to happen. But I did believe from the very beginning, when schools started going to a conference-only schedule, a lot of money to be had in the non-conference games, a lot of money. I felt like it was a step in the direction of completely canceling the season. And this is a topic that's not going away, at least for another few months. This topic's not going away. COVID-19 and the pandemic. And it will lead to our next segment. We're going to be joined by Carbon High School Principal Chris Winfrey here in just a moment. Principal Winfrey is going to join us to talk about the guidelines that have been put in place at Carbon High School as we gear up for sports season. We had tennis this morning or right now, and we have football coming up this Friday. We had the blue and white game this past Friday, the black and gold game as well. So we're going to catch up with Principal Chris Winfrey. That's coming up here in just a moment. Let's take a look at the schedule and scores in the national sports scene, and we will begin in the NBA. The Utah Jazz dipped again as they suffered a 122-114 loss to the Dallas Mavericks. Only one game remaining now for the Jazz. And remember, the schedules are not equal. Some teams are going to have more games than others, so then you pretty much just have to rely on basically the winning percentage. And the Jazz are at 43-28. The Mavericks are at 43-30. We'll take a look at the final schedules and what could in fact happen to the Utah Jazz if they were to lose their regular season finale coming up Thursday against San Antonio. Another final earlier today, Phoenix roasting the Oklahoma City Thunder, who did not play their starters. Phoenix still undefeated in the bubble. They are now they win this game 128-101. They are now 32-39 and knocking on the door to get in to the Western Conference playoff play-in game, rather. So those are two finals from earlier today. We are getting ready right now for Toronto and Milwaukee. 4:30 start time for this contest. 6 o'clock tonight, we get Indiana and Miami. And in the nightcap, it's the Lakers and the Nuggets. The Lakers have struggled a little bit, but they look a little disinterested. Maybe now with only a couple of games left, the interest changes? I don't know. We'll look at the standings a little bit later on in the show, and we'll have a conversation on NBA basketball. As far as Major League Baseball is concerned, the Braves and Phillies getting ready to start right now. Atlanta at 11-6, the Phillies at 4-6. 5:10 tonight, we get the White Sox and the Tigers, the Nationals and the Mets. Also in the 5 o'clock hour, the Rays will battle the Red Sox. We get Minnesota and Milwaukee at 6, also the Diamondbacks and the Rockies. And then we get the Giants and the Astros at 7 p.m., Mariners and Rangers, A's on the road taking on the Angels, Padres and the Dodgers in a postponed game today, the St. Louis Cardinals and the Pittsburgh Pirates. That's a quick look at what's happening in the national sports front. Local sports recap is coming up. We'll talk to Carbon High School principal Chris Winfrey, and we'll have a conversation with our NBA Drive Time sports analyst Jameson Welsh. That's all ahead on this Monday edition of Drive Time Sports. We are live from the Auto Forum studios and back in just a moment.
I understand you're a real sports fan.
Well, then there's only one answer.
Turn on the radio. You'll never have to compromise again.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Farm Studios. Very important week as far as local athletics are concerned. I know that high school sports started last week, but we really move into full swing of things this week with golf and soccer, and I know we have tennis starting up, and of course football this Friday. A lot of guidelines that need to be followed for spectators, specifically here in Carbon County. And joining us right now to talk about that and more, we have Carbon High School Principal Chris Winfrey. Principal Winfrey, always great to get you on. Thank you again for the time.
Thanks, Jordan. Happy to be here.
I know we had the blue and white game on Friday. Boy, it's kind of an eye-opener. Even though we had soccer last week, once you hit that blue and white game, you think, wow, it's go time.
Yeah, and it's exciting, you know, as we sat there on Friday and we looked at the teams on the field and we saw, you know, teams on both sidelines and one wearing blue and one wearing white, and realizing that those are all Carbon High School players. I mean, it's just awesome to see. We've got a great group of young men out playing football this year, and we had a soccer game last week. The Carbon girls got their first win, 6-0 over Union, which was great. Tennis is going on. Actually, right now, as we speak, our girls' tennis team is playing at home. Golf is happening. Volleyball is getting ready to get started and things. And so it's just exciting, and there are a lot of things that you know, we look at getting back to normal. We know that phrase doesn't mean the same thing anymore, but you think back to springtime, and man, there's a lot of seniors, a lot of parents, a lot of players who wish they could have had those senior seasons. So we're just excited to get things back and up and going again.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of questions. How long is this season going to last? I know a lot of people have asked that question. Those are questions we don't have answers to, right? But we do have guidelines in place to help the season go as long as possible. And it is an adjustment period for everyone. I mean, typically you go to football games or baseball, basketball games to relax, right? Unfortunately, it's the same experience, just with some different nuances. That's the way I view it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the most important thing to remember in all of this is that for we as spectators, for those who are coming to watch the games and really support these athletes who are participating, it's not as much about us as it is about them. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we are asked to make some sacrifices and do things a little bit differently than we normally would in order for those athletes to have the season that they're having right now and to prolong that as long as possible. We're hoping to get all the way through the seasons. That's our goal. We hope to get all the way through all three seasons. But we're going to do the best we can to manage what we are allowed to control, and then hopefully the players will get to have their seasons and feel that success.
Now, dare I say, use the word hotspot. I mean, I guess it's fair to use that comment right now as far as Carbon County is concerned. What's happening in Carbon County is a little bit different than Emory County. And I think that's also hard for people to understand as well, that wherever you go, there's going to be different guidelines in place. It doesn't matter if it's Corbett, if it's Emory, if it's Grand County, it doesn't matter. There's going to be different guidelines in place.
Yeah, so what I would say is if you're traveling as an away fan, if you're going to a Carbon game at another location, I would say be prepared for any potential options that they may have or requirements that they may have as far as spectators go. We don't know what those will be from school to school in our local counties, in our region, be more so if you go up to Salt Lake to attend any games up north, Utah County, and those kinds of places. But what we do know is that there are some things that we are putting in place for fans who attend games at Carbon High School, whether they be inside or whether they be outside, doesn't really make a difference. We've got expectations. Some of them are things that we put in place as a district. Some of these are UHSAA specific requirements for our areas that have to be put in place in order for us to play.
Such as wearing a mask.
So yeah, the number one most important thing is that all spectators are required to wear face coverings at all times throughout the game. It doesn't matter whether it's a soccer game outside. It doesn't matter whether it's a football game outside, volleyball inside, tennis, golf. Does not make a difference. All fans and spectators must be wearing face coverings at all times. We have signage up that will remind you to put your face coverings on. We ask that you keep them on during the entire game. This is a Utah High School Activities Association requirement. This is what they are saying. In order for us to have a season, we must have fans wearing face coverings. We recognize it's difficult for some. We understand that. Social distancing, whether you're spread out 10 feet apart or not, masks are still mandatory for all fans and spectators to have on when they arrive until they leave and go home.
Okay, so this is kind of going off of the cuff, but I understand just all the elements of a football game. What does this mean for the concession stands at games?
So concessions, as we've talked to the local health department about concessions specifically, wanting to know what we can do, there may be a little bit of a difference in concession. Obviously, we are going to ask people to space the lines as much as possible. So we are looking at opening multiple concession locations at football games specifically. We can do concessions out of the PA booth at the top of the bleachers, as well as the concession stand that's down by the track, the field house. And so we're looking at multiple concessions stations to try and spread things out, trying to limit items that might be touched by multiple people. So, for example, if you're putting ketchup on a hot dog, right, we're going to have the individual ketchup packets as opposed to the squeeze bottles that would be shared. So you can grab your ketchup packet and then you just throw it away. Trying to limit contact between groups. We recognize that it's not a perfect science. Obviously, those who will be providing concessions will be masked, will be wearing gloves, regularly changing gloves and things like that. But there's a lot of things we'll learn as we go. But for the sake of concessions, we are trying to follow local health department requirements.
And as far as wearing a mask, you obviously have to remove it if you're going to eat a hot dog from the concession stand. So that may be the lone exception. If you're eating or drinking, you can
Correct.
Remove the mask?
Correct. Yeah, if you're eating or drinking, pull your mask down to eat, and then we want you to put it back on. We are going to ask fans to social distance as much as possible. We would love to have the problem where our bleachers are so jam-packed full of fans that we can't spread out. I mean, that's a great problem for us to have, and we may have that, especially with an Emory Carbon homecoming game at Carbon this year. So we're going to ask fans to social distance in family groups where possible, but we recognize that's not always possible, and so that's where wearing masks is important. And again, we understand there may be times where you take your mask off to eat or drink and then you put it back on, and we're okay with that. The other thing that we're going to ask fans to do is, and this is very important really, is to symptom check before you come. If you've got a fever, if you've got a cough, if you've got sore throat, those kinds of symptoms, mask or not, we're going to ask that you not come. We're not going to be symptom checking fans as they come in. We do symptom check athletes before they participate in any athletic event. We do temperature checks and things like that. Coaches are symptom checking at practices. We will not be doing that with fans, but we're going to ask the fans to do that themselves. One other thing that we're going to ask too, just to help us control contact, is for any non-Carbon High School student, we ask that you remain with your family during the event. So we're asking that middle school, elementary school students not come on their own, that they come with family and that they stay with family. And again, this just has to do with controlling contact and keeping people where they can be so we know who's there and who's not there. And if we see a group of young kids running around on their own, throwing footballs, we're going to ask where their parents are and ask them to go back and sit with their parents. And we know that takes away from some of the fun of coming to events like that. But right now, obviously, our goal is to make sure for fans and spectators that they stay safe and healthy so that our students can have their seasons.
Again, our guest right now is Carbon High School Principal Chris Winfrey. Principal Winfrey, as far as the season itself is concerned, with all the number of sports, I mean, we've talked about, you mentioned golf, volleyball, girls tennis, football. I mean, everything that's going on, every fall sport that we have, there are guidelines that these coaches and these kids have to follow as well. And it's not necessarily a district mandate. It is the Utah High School Activities Association.
Yeah, there are very specific things that the Activities Association is requiring. Things like the players need to wear masks when they're on the bus, when they're traveling. And before you go to an away game, we do have to take temperature checks of all the players and see what their temperatures are before they get on a bus and travel with the team. And there's a lot of other things that we're doing that, you know, again, to some might seem unnecessary or might seem silly. And we recognize that. But these are requirements that the Activities Association is saying need to happen. And as much as, you know, it's fun to say, well, I don't want to do that because I don't think that's necessary. The Activities Association can end a season if they choose to. Mm-hmm. And that would be the worst possible thing for our players, is to get 5, 6, 7 games into this and then find out because we didn't bother to follow their requirements, now our season is over. And that's the one thing we're trying to really ask fans to support, parents to support, is remember, this is not about us and our ability to watch your son have that awesome season, or watch your daughter go out and dominate. This is about the players getting the chance to play. And if we have to make some sacrifices for our kids, then that's what we have to do.
Yeah, and also I have to believe that this is going to be changing rapidly.
Constantly.
Every day, every other day. I mean, there are going to be new guidelines, or guidelines maybe even taken away, just depending on how things go. So I'm sure the situation is far from a set deal. You have to wear a mask right now.
Correct.
That doesn't mean you're going to have to all year long.
Right. We don't know what'll change. You know, the one thing we know about COVID-19 is that we don't know anything about it yet.
Yeah.
And so, you know, as the governor makes changes, as the Activities Association makes changes, I don't honestly know how the college sports season might impact mm-hmm. high school sports. We haven't seen that yet. We're hoping it doesn't. I can tell you that in other states, they're making different decisions. If I remember right, Colorado has now moved all of their fall sports to spring. And they're not even going to start their winter sports until January.
Right.
That provides all kinds of complications, because in a town like ours, where we have, you know, less students who participate, you have football players who also play baseball. You yep. have softball yep. players who also play volleyball. If we have to move all of our springs or our fall sports to the spring, now you're telling players you have to choose between which team you want to play on and which team you don't. We hope that doesn't happen, but this is an ever-changing landscape for high school athletics, and we'll do everything we can to follow the policies that we're asked to follow.
All right, let's end with this. Once again, the policies that have to be in place, let's say for a soccer game or a football game, right now.
Right now. So number one, face coverings during the entire event. You need to have them on when you come in, keep them on during the event, and then you can take them off again when you leave. We do have some the throwaway face coverings, that disposable ones that we can give, but we don't have a lot, and so we ask that people bring their own. Also, secondly, again, please, unless you are a Carbon High School student, we ask that you be with your parents the entire time. Again, we don't want kids just running around or just showing up to our events. Social distancing where possible, things like soccer games and things like that, it's probably a little bit easier to spread out than other events. And then obviously symptom checking. We want to make sure that before you come, if you have any of the symptoms, you know, fever, headache, sore throat, body aches, chills, those kinds of things, cough, we ask that you not come. That way those that are there can enjoy the events as much as possible.
Principal Chris Winfrey, again, of Carbon High School. Always a pleasure to get you in. Thank you again for the time, and I know we'll be talking again real soon.
Yep, thanks, Jordan. Excited to be here.
We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return, live from the Auto Farm Studios, right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
The Toronto Raptors select. DeMar DeRozan from the University of Southern California.
And gets that to go. What a game DeRozan's having. He's got 29.
DeMar DeRozan, you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscanini.
It is Monday, and of course that means we talk NBA basketball with our great friend Jameson Welsh. We're getting down to the final 3-2 games, depending on which teams you follow in the NBA restart, in the bubble, and then it's time for the playoffs. And I think everyone is anticipating the playoffs, especially with the storyline brewing in the Western Conference at the bottom of the standings. That's actually been the funnest, I guess, storyline or development to watch, what's happening anywhere between 8 all the way down to 10. even 11, the way things are shaping out. Joining us right now over the phone to talk about that and more, we have Jameson Welsh of BasketballNews.com, also our Drive Time Sports NBA insider. Jameson, it's always a pleasure. Thank you again.
Oh, not a problem. Thanks for having me, as always. Definitely appreciate it.
Now, let's dive right in and talk about what's happening at the bottom of the Western Conference. We know for a fact we are going to get a play-in game. I don't think things worked out quite like the NBA had anticipated. I mean, the New Orleans Pelicans were a complete and utter disaster once they've gotten into the bubble. Phoenix has been a pleasant surprise. San Antonio was back in the mix. That should not be a surprise to anyone. Portland has been one of the hot teams that's garnered a lot of attention. And while the Grizzlies have not played great in the bubble, they created enough cushion going into it that they are still in fine shape to get into that play-in game. Now, again, a lot to be determined over the next 2 to 3 games for some of these squads. But boy, what a fun storyline. I don't think it could have worked out any better for the NBA outside of Zion getting into the play-in game. But if you want compelling basketball, we have it down the stretch in the bubble.
You got games that matter. You got games that people want to watch. So it's definitely fun. My whole thing with this whole situation is this. We may have a new concept for how the 8 seed is dealt with going forward. You know, like, that's the thing. It's more of a situation that, going forward, the NBA stumbled upon this. Also, I don't know if you've been peeping this, but the NBA has started all their late games at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 Eastern, 7 Mountain. That might be the new norm going forward. That means that you're in Utah, so that means they may move them up. But they may keep them there, but they may start all the West Coast games at 6 p.m. Pacific time. That would not surprise me at all, because they want as many viewers as possible for the West Coast games. And that you can't have that when you got games coming on at 7:30 Pacific Standard Time on a Thursday night when people got to go to work Friday. You just can't have that. So the NBA is making a couple of tweaks that are probably going to be long-term solutions.
Yeah, I mean, really, this is something that has been talked about multiple times. Adam Silver had brought up the idea of potentially having a play-in round for the playoffs. And to be honest with you, look, I enjoy it with Major League Baseball. Going back to when baseball had a 10-team playoff format, I enjoy the wild card play-in rounds. It's compelling. It's really interesting. A best 2 out of 3 set, I think, is a perfect way to go. And again, you and I had this conversation, Jameson, going into the bubble. This was an opportunity for the NBA to kind of test some things out as far as the changes that have been suggested over the last 2 to 3 years about the playoff format. This is a perfect test run, and it's working out. I mean, instead of having, I guess we'd have a playoff race between 2 teams right now, but instead of having a playoff race 8 and 9, right now we're looking at 8, 9, 10, and 11 as we get down to the final 3 games. That's fantastic for the game. It really is.
Oh, absolutely. And the one thing people got to realize is this. Like, this new NBA regime, when you have the players involved as well as the coaches, and the way this is going, players in the, the league, you're going to have a situation where there's going to be a lot more ideas that are going to be put up. Now, some will be cool. Some won't. Like, for instance, when it comes to a situation where, the playoff format might be changed, especially if there's a bubble situation next season, we might get 1 through 16 just based off of the way. If it's in a bubble situation, it would not surprise me to see if they make that adjustment, because if this thing is not contained by December, because remember, we have a quicker turnaround now. It's not the 3.5 months off like it normally is. We have a quicker turnaround where training camp is basically going to be November 1st. So with that being said, there's going to be a lot more things on the table. Now, they might keep it the same, and I hope they do, but it wouldn't surprise me if they try to tweak other things as well.
Yeah, you and I, we've had this conversation a million times. I am a fan of conferences. You can get rid of divisions. I don't care anything about the divisions, but as far as the conferences go, I am a fan of it. And look, we had a storyline this year with LeBron being the number one seed in the Western Conference. It was something that for many years people said he could never do what he's done in the East and the West. And against all odds, the Lakers are the one seed, right? Against all odds, and when I say that, it's because a lot of people predicted this team would have a tough time making the playoffs. This is the number one team of the West. There's too many storylines. East Coast, West Coast rivals. I mean, I love seeing that that particular storyline develop. I want to see the Lakers and the Clippers in the Western Conference Finals. I don't want to see that in the NBA Finals. I want to see LeBron and Giannis in the NBA Finals. I mean, there's been key rivalries over the past 40, 50 years that we have seen in the NBA Finals. I think it's important to keep that. But again, I can't stress it enough. This is a perfect opportunity for the NBA to tweak things, and that's exactly what they have done. Now, let's talk about the Eastern Conference, because these games, Jameson, they don't mean anything at this stage. So while the West is compelling over the final 2 to 3 games, the East, not so much.
Well, the East has, like, the 4th, 5th, and 6th seeds are still technically in question.
Sure.
With that being said, there's, you know, the top seeds kind of know what they are. It's basically, you know, Milwaukee's in a good spot because, you know, I understand Miami can be an issue for them, but I think Milwaukee's in a really good spot going forward as long as their guys are healthy. That's going to be the main thing for them. And, of course, they rely on the three-point shot a lot. So their guys can hit their open looks and their, you know, their looks that they get out of their plays. But Milwaukee's in a good spot. Toronto's a team to watch because Toronto is a very good team. They're very confident. They have a lot of veterans. They have the right mix of veterans and young guys. And everybody knows their role. They're going to be a very tough out East. And Boston's the wild card team to me just based off of the two wing players they have. Those guys are very solid in what they do. So it's going to be very interesting to see how everything shakes out East. However, I think the East is basically a three-team race. I gave Philly some praise earlier or throughout the season, but with the injuries they've had and inconsistent play they've shown, I really don't think they're there. Maybe Miami, but I think Miami's still a piece short of contending with those other teams.
Jameson Welsh, again, our guest here on Drive Time Sports as we talk about the NBA down to the final 2 to 3 games of the seeding round. You mentioned Philadelphia, Jameson, and if we go back to our NBA season preview, I know you spoke very highly of Philadelphia. You picked them to represent the East in the NBA Finals. One of the things that worked against Philly outside of the injuries and the chemistry issues, this team was very, very difficult at home. They were 31-2 at home during the actual regular season. And this is one of the nuances of the bubble. It's something that I think is going to plague the Utah Jazz. It's something that I think is going to plague the Denver Nuggets. There's no home court advantage. So while Philadelphia is not going to have Ben Simmons, and I know that's a huge, huge blow, but if all things were equal, this bubble presented that disadvantage for those teams that obviously played better basketball at home. Milwaukee was another one. They were 30-4. But when you look at Philadelphia being a 6th seed right now, and they were 31-2 at home, well, I tell you what, that right there is a huge advantage that you can't overlook that is gone.
That, and also, like, the Sixers' saving grace, if they had a healthy team, was that their healthy roster matches up very well with the 3 seed, so, which was Boston. Like, that was their saving grace this whole year because they really match up well with Boston. However, that's, you know, they're not healthy, and that's not going to be the case. But you're exactly correct. The home court advantage is not going to be there at all. Like, that's just not going to, you know, it's just not there. It is not. So Philly is a team that is going to be probably going to have a first-round exit. They're going to have a lot of questions they have to answer sooner than later. The biggest question to me is going to be, what's the situation with those two guys? Do you break it up? Do you go forward with them? How do you address the roster? You have two big other contracts on that roster with Tobias Harris and Al Horford. You can't get a whole lot of value for Horford. You may be able to trade him for a Buddy Hield type guy, but that's a big stretch. That's not a guaranteed. And with, you know, Tobias Harris, I like his game, but he's getting paid a max salary. He's nowhere near a max guy. So they have a lot of questions there, and I don't know where the future holds. And I think they should get rid of Brent Brown. I don't think he's the guy for that job.
Yeah, I mean, the Sixers are in a spot right now where you wonder, okay, have we seen the best of this potential group? Expectations are extremely high, and I do believe some of that falls on leadership. I really do. So when you talk about Brett Brown, yeah, I would have to say he is probably out. Now, with the Philadelphia 76ers, you have to bring up chemistry issues. I know you talked to a lot of people around the league, and there was a rumor that trickled out last week that maybe there were some chemistry issues in Los Angeles with the Lakers. I don't believe the Clippers have meshed chemistry-wise. Are you hearing anything outside of Philadelphia from a potential chemistry problem for teams that we have high expectations for going into the playoffs?
I mean, you got one. I'll put it this way, Jordan. This is how bad the Simmons situation is with the shooting. Markelle Fultz found his shot before Ben Simmons. Markelle Fultz was juggling the basketball at the free throw line during one of his years in Philly to try to figure out how to shoot the basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Simmons refused to shoot outside shots. So if you have a guy that is that talented but refuses to shoot, you're not going to win. And I don't care what the chemistry is or whatever it may be. Like, I love Ben Simmons' game. I think he is extremely talented. However, you cannot play 4-on-5 versus good teams. It does not work. And at this time of the year, it could not work. It doesn't. It just does not. You have too many guys that are too good. The coaches are too good. The schemes are too good. If you have a guy, one thing for a guy not be able to shoot well, that's one thing. But for a guy not even be able to shoot, man, that's not going to work.
Yeah, and I also think a lot of that falls on Brett Brown, and I think a lot of it also falls on the entire coaching staff in Philadelphia. But, Jameson, you got to be creative. If you got a guy that has Ben Simmons' skill set, you have to be creative in the way that you use it. And when I watch Philadelphia, I don't see a lot of creativity, especially for the amount of talent that is on this roster. That's why I believe a lot of the chemistry issues fall not squarely on the coaching staff, but a great deal of it, because there is no creativity to use a specific skill set, and this is a team that has a lot of puzzle pieces.
Has a lot of puzzle pieces. However, the one thing people have to understand is this. This is an organizational failure. This is the same team that tanked, even though that regime's not here anymore. This is the same team that tanked at the early part of last decade for a while to get to where they're at now. And that tanking really didn't pay off. They had a shot last year. They were really close to getting to the conference finals last year. It didn't work out, and their window is pretty much closed with this current roster, this current situation. They're going to have to make a move in order to try something different, because this is not working. This is not all Brett Brown's fault. It's not all Simmons or Embiid's fault. This is an organizational failure from the top, and that's where we are.
Let's end by talking about the Dallas Mavericks. You look at the Mavericks, Luka Doncic. Has he been the best player in the bubble?
Oof. T.J. Warren got something to say about that.
So does Devin Booker. So does Devin Booker.
Hell yeah, Devin Booker as well. Don't know about the best. But he, for a guy that young, to get the keys to a franchise does a lot. Rick Carlisle is not a guy that plays rookies a lot or trusts rookies a lot. For him to give Luka the keys to the franchise and let him go tells me everything I need to know. And he's gotten better. Now, most improved player better, I don't know about that, because that's a totally different situation. That award's normally geared toward other players. But Luka's been very good this year. None of this is a surprise if you watch his first year. Now, he just feels more confident on the court. That's all. Being able to throw a between-the-legs, on-the-run, pick-and-roll pass to a guy cutting to the basket in overtime, basically a pocket pass that way, that's different. Like, that's high-level stuff that a handful of guys in the world can do. And he did it with a tie game in overtime. So, yeah, he's a different guy. He's way, way different. He's going to be a future MVP. That's just how it goes. If they get a better team, if they get a better supporting piece around them, they got a shot at doing some stuff there. He's definitely going to put up the numbers, and if he gets a top four seed, he's going to be an MVP.
Yeah, I agree with you. As far as most improved player, you can't mistake most improved for development. And I still believe he's still in the development phase, right? Most improved to me is a guy that, well, for development standpoints, is probably peaked, but has found ways to evolve his game. Luka's still developing. I mean, this guy's ceiling is still sky high. If you're going to give this guy most improved player of the year, you're probably going to give it to him the next 3 years, because he is going to get better and better until he reaches that ceiling, right? So, in my mind, you got to give most improved to a guy who has evolved his game, not a guy that's developed.
Correct. And that's the thing. I wish there was more context. Devontae Graham should be the most improved player. Christian Wood, Duncan Robinson should be the guys in that conversation.
Jameson Welsh, you get a basketballnews.com, taking out the time to join us as he does every Monday to talk about the NBA and as we continue to gear up for the postseason. Fun final few days. Jameson, of course, I know you're very active on social media and on radio and also with basketballnews.com. Let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Basketballnews.com, first and foremost, drops in a week. So next Monday it drops. ESPN 1100, of course, your show as well. ESPN 1480 in Nebraska. And yeah, man, we're just keeping it rolling.
Great stuff as always, Jameson. I appreciate the time, and I know we'll catch up again real soon.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me as always.
We got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Eagles.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Forum Studios here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Jordan Buscarini alongside Travis Anderson. Travis, we'll talk NBA basketball to close out this show, because we did get some clarity. I mean, I'm going over the scenarios for the Western Conference playoffs, and it's crazy. There's still so many things that could happen with only two games remaining. Now, we know seven squads that have clinched their spot. And I guess just for the sake of the Western Conference, because the East is set, so just for the sake of this particular topic, let's go over it again. Lakers, Clippers, Nuggets, Rockets, Thunder, Jazz, Mavericks. They have all clinched. That leads us looking for two more teams, 8 and 9. As of right now, Memphis is at 33-38. Portland is at 33-39. San Antonio at 31-38. Phoenix Suns 32-39. Suns are going to run the table. They're not going to lose in the bubble.
No, they're going 8-0.
Man. Just the way it sets up, they're not going to. Yeah, I agree. I don't think they lose. So here's what we have. Memphis, remaining schedule. Boston and Milwaukee.
See, those two teams don't have anything to play for.
They don't.
So I think they might catch a break, and those guys are going to rest with Boston and Milwaukee, which helps Memphis. But Memphis hasn't helped themselves at all.
Yeah, but that's going to be a reoccurring theme here, okay? Because we look at number 9, Portland, Dallas, and Brooklyn. Do either of those teams have anything to play for other than Dallas potentially catching the Jazz winning percentage-wise? Do they have anything to play for? And I, you know what?
They didn't play today. You don't want to go too long without playing those guys into next week. I think they play tomorrow. And if, you know, Porzingis and Luka play tomorrow, I think Dallas probably wins that game.
So Portland,
I'm going to give Portland a loss.
Okay. Phoenix, Philly, and Dallas.
Yeah, they're going to win.
San Antonio, Houston, and Utah.
Utah probably doesn't play anybody in that last game. Houston, who knows? San Antonio probably goes 2-0.
Okay. Due to the season suspension, not all teams played the same number of games, and this is where this gets tricky. And so I guess I'm going to teach as to what could happen. If you don't know what the possible scenarios are, here we go. If there is a tiebreaker, win percentage favors Portland in each matchup. So Portland has the tiebreaker in each matchup because it's win percentage.
It's not how many games you're back or whatever. It's the win percentage.
Then it will go to head-to-head record, followed by division record if in the same division, then conference record against playoff teams, then record against playoff teams in the East, and then net rating. Let's hope we don't get down to net rating. Here it is. Portland wins the 8th seed if they go 2-0 and Memphis goes 1-1. Portland goes 1-1, Memphis goes 0-2, San Antonio goes 1-1, Phoenix goes 1-1. Portland's getting in, put it that way. All they really need to do is win one game, and they're getting in.
Yeah, they're going to probably be in that 9 spot. They might even get to 8 and drop Memphis to 9, so Portland's going to play in the playoff chase.
Okay, Portland gets the 9th seed if they go 2-0 and Memphis goes 2-0. Or if Portland goes 1-1, San Antonio goes 1-1, Phoenix goes 1-1. Or if Phoenix and San Antonio both lose out, Portland's going to get the 9th seed. So, again, it just seems highly unlikely that Portland does not get in at this point.
Yeah, unless they, you know, don't play well and they pretty much play themselves out of it, they're going to get in.
Okay, now let's look at Phoenix. Phoenix would play Memphis as the 8th seed. If Phoenix goes 2-0, very likely. Portland goes 0-2, unlikely. Or San Antonio loses one or more games.
That's tough because I just don't see San Antonio. I think San Antonio goes 1-1. Phoenix is going to win out. Portland's not going to lose.
So here's Portland. And can we agree that the most likely scenario would be Portland and Phoenix?
Yes.
Is that what you're feeling right now, Portland and Phoenix?
I think Portland gets to 8, Phoenix gets to 9.
Okay, here's what would have to happen for that. Portland is the 8th seed. They would go 2-0, Memphis has to go 0-2, Phoenix goes 2-0. That's not out of the realm of possible. Because again, looking at Memphis, they get Boston and Milwaukee, and while I know that neither of those two teams have anything to play for, to me, that's a pretty likely scenario. Portland going 2-0, Phoenix going 2-0, Memphis going 0-2?
I think
it's likely.
I agree. That's the most likely scenario.
What about San Antonio? The Spurs have a chance in your mind?
They do, because again, Utah's probably not going to play Mitchell and Gobert and maybe Ingles in that last game. So San Antonio's better with the lineup going against, you know, the Jazz lineup. And who else does San Antonio play?
San Antonio is going to end with Houston and Utah.
And then, see, Houston probably doesn't play Harden and Westbrook because I wouldn't see the point of risking that if I'm Houston playing those two. I could see the Spurs going 2-0.
Okay, so let's say they are the 9th seed and they play Portland. Here's what would have to happen. Phoenix would have to go 1-1. Memphis would have to go 0-2. San Antonio would have to win out. You see all the scenarios? The point I'm trying to make here, it's a lot of gibberish, and you have probably forgotten what each team needs to do at this particular time. But that's the type of intrigue that we have coming down the final stretch of the NBA. And going back to our segment just a moment ago with Jameson, I believe the NBA is going to adapt this from here on out.
Oh, they love it.
They do love it because it's just It's just one of those things.
I
where
hate it.
I, you know what? I can't say that I hate it. I would say this. If you go back, boy, it's been a while, 10 years ago, Jazz were a borderline 50-win team. They were the 8 seed, right?
Yeah.
You win 50 games in the Western Conference.
You should have a chance.
You should be in the playoffs. I don't think there's any
But
question.
If the season would have continued and it didn't get stopped, Memphis easily is in the playoffs and Portland has no chance.
Maybe. Although Memphis is not
because
playing Memphis well to restart,
Memphis's schedule was garbage.
Yeah, and that matters. I mean, I get it. But in the same token, they haven't played well in the
They're
bubble.
Injured, yeah.
And all they really needed to do was hang on to the 8 seed or drop to the 9, and you get into the play-in game. And this is the way it's going to work. Game 1 will be Saturday, August 15th at 11:30 a.m. That's coming up this Saturday. We're 5 days away from the play-in game. This is number 8 versus number 9. If 9 wins, they play again Sunday for a chance to go to the playoffs at 1:30 p.m. So we could have back-to-back games. I love it. Sign me up for this kind of drama. I like it. And you know what? If Adam Silver adapted this moving forward, Travis, I'd be fine with it. I really would.
And Portland really hasn't played well. They're doing enough to get in, but I don't think Portland... A lot of people are picking Portland to beat the Lakers.
Well, that's not going
to
happen.
Portland barely beat Denver, and Denver didn't play Millsap and the Joker and Jamal Murray, and Portland's barely beating these teams. And I think they're just, you know, excluding a lot of energy to get to the playoffs. And I think it's just going to come back where that once the Lakers beat them in five.
Five or six. Here's the thing about Portland. They don't play defense. That's
can't,
the one thing about
they
Portland.
They can't play defense
they,
at all.
They don't play defense. And so that's the one knock on Portland. I think they're dangerous. I really do. But then again, I think everyone in the Western Conference, if we go down 1 through 9 right now, I can tell you something dangerous about every team.
Hey, do you want to play Dallas? You want to play Luka? No.
Luka, arguably, as we talked about last segment, arguably has been the best player in the bubble.
Seeing that Utah's sitting nice at 6, and right now it's Denver at 3, it's a good matchup for the Jazz.
I like that matchup for the Jazz.
I do like that matchup for the Jazz.
If I'm a Jazz fan, I want Houston or Denver in the first round.
Yeah.
I don't want Oklahoma City.
No.
I want Houston or I want Denver in the first round.
Yeah, and if you get Denver,
Clippers,
I would probably pick the Jazz to beat the Nuggets.
I think they could beat the Nuggets. I really think they could. Out of time of this edition of the show. We will be back to do it again tomorrow. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We are out.